What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Opening day. At this moment, every fan from every team feels exactly the same way at the exact same time. Like anything is possible. And on Arena Club, home of the original Slab Pack, you can rip open that feeling anytime you want. All the excitement, the hope and anticipation, the love of the hobby and love of the game is right there in your hand. Have an opening day every day. Let the chase begin at arenaclub.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. 11:03 here on WGR Sports Radio 550, and welcome to another edition of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for listening, as always. And, well, unlike the majority of Buffalo sports fans this morning, I am not giddy in Dalina mania in the Bills quarterback that they drafted on Thursday. No, unfortunately, my weekend my weekend wasn't ruined, but I'm not feeling the one Buffalo pride this morning, because while the Bills and Sabres had some good news this weekend, the Buffalo Bandits, unfortunately, losing last night, ending their regular season and will not make the postseason, and that's the team that I work with and work on their broadcasts with, I'm a little bummed this morning. So I'm not as giddy as maybe Joe and Brayton were here this morning talking about Rasmus Dahlin and the Sabres winning the draft lottery, which is great, but I am not as in a good mood as most Buffalo sports fans. But we will press on here this morning, as we've got racing to talk about, as we've got NASCAR in Talladega, we've got four wide nationals for NHRA, we got a crazy F1 race to talk about, lots of stuff here on this Sunday morning to talk with you at 803-0551, 888-550-2550, and also you can tweet us at FastTrack550 and Facebook.com/WGRFastTrack. Coming up on today's program, in about 10 minutes, we'll go live to the Talladega Super Speedway and talk to Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network, as we will have live flag-to-flag coverage of today's Geico 500 from the Talladega Super Speedway, with live pre-race coverage coming up at 1 o'clock this afternoon here in WGR Green Flag just after 2 o'clock. Mike will be on the broadcast, and we will talk to the Bagman in about 10 minutes here on the program. At the bottom of the hour, our local racing preview rolls on despite Mother Nature steamrolling over the start of racing season here in Western New York and Southern Ontario. Tim Pacman, my dear friend and, I guess you could say boss over at the Lancaster Speedway, he will join me at the bottom of the hour as weather has wreaked havoc on their schedule, including delaying some pre-season track prep and delaying the start to the season over at Lancaster. We'll talk to Tim about their 2018 campaign as any local racing scheduled for this weekend. Almost all the local racing scheduled for this weekend has been rained out. You do have a chance to see some racing today in Western New York, and that is over at the Genesee Speedway in Batavia. They are holding practice today at, I think, 2 o'clock, and then tonight, 6 o'clock, they do have an enduro they're going to run. So if you feel like bundling up and heading out to Batavia and you want to see some racing, Genesee Speedway is the place to do it this evening. Humberstone had their Dawn of Destruction event. They postponed that to next weekend. Merrittville rained out last night. Lancaster had already previously canceled their scheduled event for this weekend. But you've got a shot. If you are a diehard and you want to go see an enduro or see some just cars practicing, you can head over to Genesee Speedway. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. On top of the race at Talladega today, which we'll talk about in a moment, two big stories relating to NASCAR this week that we're also going to talk about. But real quick, the starting lineup for today's race at Talladega, the Geico 500, which again will be here in WGR. Kevin Harvick on the pole, Kurt Busch, his teammate on row one. No surprise, Ford's. Well, actually, I guess, well, restrictor plate qualifying has been kind of a more of a Hendrick thing, I guess, in recent years. But the Fords obviously have been very strong on the restrictor plate tracks, including Ricky Stenhouse winning a couple last year. So all Ford front row with Harvick and Busch. Martin Truex, Denny Hamlin in row two. Chase Elliott qualified third. He'll go to the rear of the field for a unimproved change after qualifying. But he qualified fifth. Eric Jones sixth. Ricky Stenhouse, there he is in seventh. As he, of course, won two restrictor plate races last year. Clint Bowyer, eighth. Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, who are very good on the restrictor plate tracks. Keselowski has six career restrictor plate wins, and Joey Logano, former Daytona 500 winner. Two of the best, I think, now that maybe the two best restrictor plate drivers in the sport now that Dale Jr. is retired. They are in row number five today. Good qualifying efforts for Alex Bowman and David Reagan in 11th and 12th. Paul Menard qualified 13th. Darrell Wallace Jr. qualified 15th, of course, finishing second in the Daytona 500 earlier this year. Jimmy Johnson in 16th. Kyle Busch in 19th. Of course, Kyle going for his fourth straight win in the Cup Series today, something that has not happened in this sport since 2007 when Jimmy Johnson won four in a row. Unfortunately, this is probably the least likeliest of places for Kyle to get a win because of just how unpredictable restrictor plate racing is. But if he can do it today, it'll be four in a row for Kyle Busch. He qualified again 19th, Kyle Larson 22nd, Ryan Blaney 23rd, Daytona 500 winner Austin Dillon in 24th. That sounds weird to say. That's some of the notable names in the field, but there are a bunch of guys that are actually going to the rear of the field today, and see if I can bring up that list fast enough here. And, yep, there we go. The car is going to the rear of the field. Chase Elliott, as I said, for a tire change. Jamie McMurray, of course, he had to go to a backup car. He rolled his car in practice on Friday, which was part of the reason why NASCAR went to a smaller restrictor plate following practice on Friday to keep some of the speeds down. Only smaller by 1/64 of an inch, but that's enough to take about a dozen horsepower out of these cars and slow these cars down a couple miles an hour, but nothing you'll really notice out there on the racetrack today. But so McMurray in a backup car goes to the rear. Newman, Ty Dillon, Daniel Suarez, all backup cars. They were also caught up, I believe, in that incident with McMurray. And Eric Almirola, who, of course, had a shot to win the Daytona 500 back in February. Keep an eye on him today, although he'll have to go to the rear of the field as well. So you got about a dozen drivers that will fall tail at the start of today's race. We'll talk more about that with Mike Bagley in a couple of minutes, but two big NASCAR stories this week. The first one, out of left field, I guess you could say, unless you're, you're an insider, you might have heard rumblings of this, but for most everybody else, this was kind of a out of left field story. But Matt Kenseth is coming back to the Cup Series in 2018. Of course, Matt had been driving for Joe Gibbs Racing, and he lost his ride at the end of last year when the team decided to move Eric Jones from the Furniture Row team back to Joe Gibbs for 2018. And so Matt was without a ride. Of course, this whole change in NASCAR with the business of the sport where younger drivers that make less money are more likely to get rides these days than maybe veteran drivers that have bigger salaries. And so Matt was left without a chair when the music ended at the end of last year. Well, Matt Kenseth is coming back, and it's with an old team. Roush Fenway Racing has hired Matt, and he will join the team at Kansas in a couple of weeks. And he's actually going to take the six car, which, of course, is currently driven by former Daytona 500 winner Trevor Bayne, although Trevor Bayne has struggled and has not had his career has not taken off as some had hoped after he won that Daytona 500 for the Wood Brothers a few years ago. He wound up at Roush Fenway Racing, and unfortunately he has struggled, especially when you compare, I guess, to his teammate Ricky Stenhouse, who won a couple races last year. So Kenseth will run that ride sporadically this season. He'll start at Kansas. He'll run the All-Star race at Charlotte. And then they have not decided his full schedule, how many races he's going to run at 2018. I think a lot of it has to do with the sponsorship, because Trevor Bayne does have a sponsor in AdvoCare. I can't remember how many races exactly that deal has left for Trevor, but I'm sure he will get those, whatever races he had AdvoCare has AdvoCare in the car. I'm sure Trevor will stay in the car for those. But the other dates where they don't have any sponsorship, and it's most weeks when you just see Ford logos on that six car, I'm sure Matt will get a shot to drive. So kind of a surprise. I'm glad to see Matt is coming back at 46 years of age. Still, you know, he won a race last year. He's still a great competitor. You know, I don't expect, he'll go out there and he'll be able to give that six car as good of a run, if not better, than Trevor has been giving it so far this year. But great to see a former champion, Matt Kenseth, get back into the sport. I'm sure he is going to be he's going to maybe not win a race, but like I said, he'll help turn that six team around, which has struggled. Of course, the Roush cars don't have as good of equipment as some of the other top teams in the sport, so I don't expect Matt to go out there and maybe win a race in his return this year, but I definitely think he can only help that six team going forward this year and give them some more information with his years of experience under his belt to try and improve that six car and maybe take it from a top 25, top 20 team and put it into position to get some top 10s and maybe some top 5 runs later in the year. It won't happen right away, but the more Matt is in that car this year, I think that'll only improve and also improve Trevor Bayne's chances too when he is, as he and Matt will share that ride for this year now. Any information that Matt can provide the team, they can use that and help make the car better for Trevor as well too, and maybe improve their fortunes this year and try and get that 16 turned around. As Roush has been in the news a lot here now these last 2 weeks. We talked about last week, of course, Ricky Stenhouse and the 17 team. Their big three sponsors, including Fastenal, are locked up through 2021, so that was good news there for Roush. And now they've brought Matt Kenseth back into the fold to share that six car. So it'll be interesting to see how well that team does compared to when Trevor Bayne was driving the car when Matt Kenseth gets behind the wheel later this year, and how quickly he'll acclimate himself driving the Ford Fusion and working with the folks over at Roush Fenway once again. And they had a big announcement at the NASCAR Hall of Fame, including with Mark Martin, because, of course, it is the six car, which, you know, Mark is most famous for driving with Roush Fenway. And also Matt brought over a sponsor with him, too, which I'm sure helped with Wyndham Hotels going to be sponsoring Matt, at least for his return race at Kansas next month. So that was the first big story. The other big story, another huge announcement, came Friday, I believe. Yeah, Friday, NASCAR announcing that they have bought the ARCA series, which is huge. The ARCA Racing Series is probably the, I guess, second highest stock car series in America behind NASCAR. You know, you see them at the super speedway tracks like Daytona and Talladega. They run a mix of cup tracks, but they also run short tracks. They even run a couple dirt mile tracks later in the year, if you're not familiar with the ARCA series. And that's been kind of a part development series, and a lot of drivers that are looking to get into NASCAR, whether it's the Xfinity series or the Cup series, hone their skills in ARCA, and also some veteran drivers run there as well too. So NASCAR buying ARCA was a huge announcement. It's going to really change the landscape of stock car racing, and I think NASCAR's development system. And I think one of the part of the announcement is ARCA is going to continue to operate as normal for the rest of 2018 and next year into 2019. But 2020, it sounds like, is when NASCAR will fully take control of the ARCA series and put their stamp on the brand. And it's going to be interesting to see what they do with ARCA and what they do with the K&N East and West series, because that's NASCAR's mid-tier series that they use as kind of driver development. If they merge those two together and see what they come up with, because the ARCA cars and the K&N cars are very similar in several aspects, and a lot of teams run both series, drivers run both series, so there is a lot of similarities between the two series. So it would be easy to merge the two, and it'll be interesting to see where that series goes. Do they make it one giant development series? Do they break it down and keep it a regional with an east and a west, and maybe they throw in a Midwest region with the ARCA? It'll be interesting to see what happens when NASCAR fully takes over ARCA in 2020. And this is going to be all part of a big to-do, I think, once we get into 2020. We've talked about it this year with the end of the sanctioning agreements with the tracks. There'll be a new schedule likely in 2020, 2021. The sponsorship, the series sponsorship program that they've announced already, that they're going to be going to more of a, instead of having one major title sponsor, they're going to have a collection of series sponsors. So I think it's all puts together just one big thing for NASCAR. I think 2020, 2021 is going to be a new era for the sport, and I think it's going to be that's going to be like the next era in the sport, where we're going to have maybe a new development series, a new look to the schedule, and a new series of title sponsors for the Cup Series, and maybe the Xfinity Series too. We'll see what happens. Mike, we have him. And we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in one of the voices you'll hear on today's broadcast of the Geico 500 here on WGR from the Motor Racing Network. Mike Bagley joins us on the line. Bagman, it's Dave Buchanan here in Buffalo. Good morning. Great to talk to you again.
Great talking to you, Dave. How things up in Buffalo?
No shock here. It's snowing a little bit, Mike.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Well, Mother Nature needs to be put out to sea. We've had enough up here. We're crying uncle.
Well, I hate to say this, but today we're going to about 75 and cloudless skies here in Talladega. So I feel your pain. I live in the Mid-Atlantic, and we've had a prolonged winter-slash-spring kind of situation. But it's going to be good down here today, and I expect a great race today.
What do we expect? Obviously, restrictor plate racing is so unexpected. It's hard to predict, Mike, with the way the style of racing is, but is there anything we can count on today once we go green in the Geico 500?
Well, I think that what we'll see, Dave, is you'll see teammates seek each other out. And while it may not necessarily mean all the Penske guys lined up or all the Hendrick guys or the SHR guys or the Gibbs guys lined up together, you'll see probably some manufacturer teammates. The whole thing, Talladega is one big game of love 'em and leave 'em. It's like you spend 485 miles loving up the people. And then in that last 15 miles, you leave them and you go with what you think is going to be the best for you. And it's always fine. It's always fun to watch those drivers, find out the other ones, and see what partnerships develop, who's good, and who you can take advantage of as far as hooking onto their draft, or they hooking onto your draft or whatever. And then watch all that go away, and then you're left with what you get at the end, and it's basically every man for himself. That's one of the things I enjoy watching about Talladega. But as far as, like, a clear-cut favorite, man, that's you might as well fire up the old dartboard and start launching darts, because that's probably you got a better shot of finding out who's going to win the race and try to predict it out otherwise.
Well, what do you think is more likely to happen today, Mike? Kyle Busch get his fourth win in a row, or we see a Cup driver get their first career win today?
That's a good question. I would say that you probably have a better shot of Kyle Busch getting four in a row, because even though this place 11 times before has given drivers their first ever win, it hasn't happened in a while. It happened last year at Talladega. Before that, it was 2011, but it doesn't happen all that often. Now, at the same time, Kyle has been snake bit at Talladega over the years. It's like he finished in the top five last fall. I'm sorry, in this race last spring, but it's been hit or miss. And, of course, the wild card is getting swept up in somebody else's mess, happening, somebody cutting out a tire. I mean, there's just so many what-ifs and so many possibilities of mayhem that it's hard to work your way through all that. Kyle said it's easier to win the Powerball than it is to win it. Obviously, your odds there are 1 in 1 billion, but here it's only 1 in 40. But I get his comparison. You just don't know, and it's so difficult to do. Right place, right time, right drafting helps. So many things have to go right in order for that to happen.
Well, Mike, I've enjoyed the first quarter of the season here so far. I mean, we've had two guys win three races apiece in Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch. But tell me if you agree with me. But I think there's been a little bit of parity this year, and not like IROC parity, but just all the big teams in the sports are getting their shots in this year. Joe Gibbs teams are having good runs. The Penske cars are having good runs. The Stewart Haas teams are having their good runs. I just think all the big guys have been coming and running really well this year. And despite, you know, Kyle's hot streak right now, I think every team has a shot to be running in Homestead for the championship later this year. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, they do. That's a good assessment. Obviously, it has skewed a little more towards Gibbs and SHR. Penske's yet to visit victory lane. They've been running well, but it seems like they've hit a glass ceiling. They've gotten inside the top 10 on a consistent basis, but they're just needing that little extra to get up into, you know, third, second, first place territory. And you speak of parity, and I think part of this is when you look at the timing sheet during practice, you look at the qualifying results, the separation between these teams is measured in tenths of seconds. It's not like when somebody says, oh, we need more speed than, you know, we're just awful. It's no, we need a little more speed, and that speed comes in two-tenths of a second.
Yep.
Last week at Richmond, Kyle Busch missed advancing in qualifying by two-tenths of a second. You can't even blink your eyes that fast. That is the minute amount of measurement of time that folks are targeting. So you have the parity as far as different drivers winning, different teams winning, but you also have the parity of a lot of cars are running the exact same speed. The equalizer and the differentiator, I think, this weekend is Talladega and the decision process the driver makes. But it has been good so far this year to watch all of the different organizations share some sort of success in one form or fashion.
Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network joining us here on WGR's Fast Track. Mike, of course, big news of the week. Matt Kenseth is coming back to the Cup Series, taking over the sixth team for Roush Family Raceway for a few races this year. It came out of left field for me, but as an industry insider as yourself, were you hearing any rumblings of this leading up to the announcement this week?
The only thing that we got was Jordan Bianchi's article at SB Nation. Sources told him that this is going to happen. I didn't expect this. I didn't see this because it was well documented when Matt left Roush Fenway to go to Joe Gibbs Racing. That didn't fit too well with Jack Roush. And even Jack in the press conference this week alluded to the fact that it took him a while to get over it. But if I'm Jack Roush and I'm having performance challenges with younger drivers, in my opinion, there is no better driver to bring into the fold than Matt Kenseth, who not only is a good driver on the track, but he gives great insight and he gives great feedback to the team.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm looking to diagnose some issues with my race team, I'm going to entrust a guy like Matt Kenseth to give me the feedback. Now, what's going to be key is when Matt gives you the feedback, you need to act on it. Don't dismiss it. This man is obviously going to speak from experience and try to make your race team better. And I think that there's a longer-term implication to where Matt perhaps maybe could have some sort of a consultant role or a management role or anything like that. I like the fact that Matt's coming back. I've missed him on the racetrack this year.
Yeah.
I just hope that he's able to give the feedback, the team is able to accept it, make the necessary adjustments, and get those cars right. This isn't going to turn around within the next 3 or 4 weeks. This may be a couple of months or so. Turning around performance in this garage is almost like comparing turning around a cruise ship versus a jet ski. Jet ski is a more immediate change. A cruise ship's going to take a little time to get the old gal turned around, and I think that they're in cruise ship territory, but I think it's possible. I think Matt Kenseth can lead them to future successes and getting their cars better and running up front and returning to some sort of a powerhouse like they used to be, because it's been a while since they've been in that territory.
Mike, last thing before we let you go, what can we look forward to on the pre-race show once it comes up here at 1 o'clock here on WGR?
Oh, we got a little bit of everything. We're talking about the adjustment to the restrictor plate races. We've also got a one-on-one interview that she posted with Rex Farmer of the Alabama Gang.
Mm-hmm.
He came into the truck the other day, and we'll hear some of that. And, of course, we'll be talking to all the drivers as they come off the introduction stage. And we've got, you'll hear from the Daytona 500 winner. You'll hear from Timothy Peters, who's making his first start in the Cup Series, and all points in between. And we're locked and loaded. We've got a jam-packed pre-race show, and of course, this is all in advance of the big show that's coming up here later this afternoon.
Well, Mike, as a fan of your show Monday through Friday, as you know, always great chance to get you on my show and talk to you. Have a great call today. Thank you so much for your time on a busy race morning, and we'll be listening today here on WGR.
Dave, thanks so much. Thanks to the folks in Buffalo for checking us in and twisting us in, and we'll look forward to bringing you the Geico 500 coming up here shortly.
Take care, Mike.
Take care, Dave.
All right. Mike Bagley from the Motor Racing Network. You can follow him on Twitter at TheMikeBagley, and he'll be in working the corners today for the Motor Racing Network as part of their live flag-to-flag coverage of the Geico 500 here on WGR. When we get back, we'll talk to Tim Peckman from the Lancaster National Speedway and Dragway, as someday we'll get to go racing here in Western New York. We'll find out how many days that is, and we talk to Tim here next on WGR.
Hi, this is Ryan Newman, driver of the Caterpillar Chevrolet. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
Ryan Newman had Jamie McMurray on top of his car during practice on Friday as McMurray cut a tire down, got turned sideways in the backstretch, and rolled his car over about five times. And he said yesterday during qualifying, he said the back of his eyes hurt, and he was just kind of sore in general. So hopefully Jamie Mack feeling a little bit better today, as he'll start from the rear of the field today for the Geico 500. But it was a typical restrictor play crash, but not one you see in practice. That was the type of crash you see in the middle of a race, not one at practice. And luckily, Jamie is okay enough to drive, but he said the back of his eyes hurt when he woke up yesterday morning. I thought that was pretty funny. NHRA in action this weekend, and they're in Charlotte for the four-wide nationals. And this is the second four-wide event of the year, as, of course, Las Vegas held their first-ever four-wide event earlier this month. Top qualifiers in the major categories: Brittany Force, number one qualifier in top field; Tony Schumacher, Antron Brown, Steve Torrence, the top four qualifiers there. Funny car, Courtney Force, joins her sister as a number one qualifier. She did in funny car. Ron Capps, Tommy Johnson, J.R. Todd, your top four qualifiers in funny car. Pro stock, Drew Skillman, top qualifier with Greg Anderson, Bo Butner, and Vince Nobile, your top qualifiers there. In Pro Mod, Mike Janis, who we had on the show earlier this year, qualified number three. So good. Hopefully Mike, although, as he said, not a fan of four-wide racing, as he told us on the show earlier this year, will give it his best go today, qualifying number three in Pro Mod, and hopefully he can pick up his first win of the season after finishing runner-up earlier this year. And Melanie Salemi, unfortunately, did not qualify. Another Western New York driver, with some support from New Era this year. She had a great profile done about her that was tweeted out by Drag Illustrated this week. If you scan back through my Twitter feed at FastTrack550, I retweeted it out. But she got some good pub. Unfortunately, could not qualify for the field of 16 today. But Melanie, a very talented driver, and her family, they do a great job putting together and building race cars. And hopefully she will qualify for the next Pro Modified event in the NHRA Malilo Drag Racing Series. 803-0551, 888-552-550. The phone lines are open for you this morning. What do you think about today at Talladega? It is an interesting question, as I posed to Mike Bagley earlier. What is more likely to happen? Kyle Busch get his fourth win in a row, or could we see a first-time winner in the Cup Series? As Mike said, and as history has proved, the restrictor plate races are always prone to provide a first-time winner, although it's been a while since we've had one. Until Ricky Stenhouse's win last year, we haven't had too many in recent years, but they are a likely place because of the unpredictability. But of course, Chase Elliott is starving for that first career Cup Series win, and now that he has the same amount of runner-up finishes as his dad had before getting his first Cup Series win, he would like to break through and get a first win. But I think there's a number of candidates. I mean, even look at the young guys over there at Hendrick with Alex Bowman and William Byron. Both of those guys, you know, his Chase Elliott's teammates, they have a shot to possibly be there at the end. I think even like someone like Paul Menard, who's with the Wood Brothers, of course, this year, he's in driving a Ford, and the Penske cars are so good at the restrictor plate tracks. And, you know, the Wood Brothers team is kind of like a satellite team to the Penske organization. He qualified well. He qualified 13th. And it just, there's a handful of guys that you could see get their first career Cup Series win. Obviously, it would be so awesome to see Bubba Wallace get his first win after just the emotion of finishing second at the Daytona 500 earlier this year, how well he ran there late in the race, and then his run at Bristol a couple of weeks ago, leading a handful of laps, although the day wound up disappointing for Bubba, still showed he can run well on other tracks too. Would be another great potential first-time winner. And I mean, don't count out the smaller teams. I mean, the Front Row Motorsports, we've seen them come in surprise at Talladega in the past too, and I mean, they've got Michael McDowell and David Reagan driving for them today, and those are two guys that have had some good runs. I mean, Reagan qualified 12th. He made it into the final round of qualifying. Don't count out those guys being there at the end of the race, especially if there are some crashes early in the race, maybe take out a couple front runners. Don't count out some winner coming out of nowhere like a Front Row Motorsports or maybe a Chris Buescher over there for JTG Doherty Racing or Ty Dillon even, with the 13 car. I mean, with Germain Racing, there's obviously that possibility, as always, at Talladega for an out of left field winner to come. We'll find out later today here in WGR, but right now we're going to go to the AT&T hotline and bring in from the Lancaster National Speedway and Dragway, my dear friend Tim Pacman is on the line. Tim, good morning.
Good morning. How you doing? I think the sun's coming out, Dave.
Is that what that funny thing is in the sky?
Yep. I have a sunscreen on my eyeballs. It's so bad.
I was gonna say it was snowing on April 29th in Buffalo. You're a short track operator. I'm sure you'd like to say some things that would get us fined by the FCC.
Yeah. I've hidden all sharp objects from myself, and I'm glad I live in a one-level place. Leave it at that.
Well, give us the latest, Tim, because there was another schedule adjustment yesterday for the track. What is the latest on when things are going to start in 2018 for Lancaster?
Well, you know, a lot of people read that well-written press release, Dave, and what we had to do.
That guy's a hack.
You're welcome. Because the weather forced us to hold off on our improvements, not repairs. We're making improvements here. So the concrete people said, okay, we were going to do grinding, which would have been fine. But I said, you know what, let's just make it right. So thank goodness to the ownership group, the Lancaster Speedway, and they said, you know what, let's do it that way. So we're doing it right. And so the two sections, one's coming out of turn four for the stock cars, and it's also towards the end of the drag strip. So that affects both of them. And the other one is in the turn one area of the oval, but is very important for the drag strip, so we can't get in and pour. You saw the weather yesterday and today. So once we do, we're going to have to push it back. So next Friday, we hope to do a tech session. And then Saturday, you know, there's nothing going on for stock cars. And the week after that, we hope to start cruise night on Wednesday the 9th. It'll depend on the concrete. And then on the next Friday, the 11th and 12th, we'll start with drag racing. And then on Saturday, we'll start the stock car season off with the Racing Champion Modifieds, with our street stocks, four cylinders, and super stocks at night. So we're gonna come out of the box big there, and we appreciate all the fans and the stands and the stars and the cars for being patient and understanding. But it's nothing that we had any choice; as Mother Nature forced it. So that's where we're at right now, and we're just gonna punt and adapt. But the good news is we've actually started working on the track areas, and everything's coming to life here. The coolers are on, the beer coolers on, and lights are on, the water's on, so those are the big important things before we can have people out here.
And I know it's frustrating, and I'm just as disappointed as everybody else, but Tim, I'd rather have a track cancel races this early and have to or schedule races this early on the off chance that the weather does hit, and so you're not standing there with your hands in your pocket saying, what if, when it's sunny and 70, versus saying, oh, well, we tried, when it winds up snowing and it's 40.
Right, and, you know, I take full blame, because the last 2 years, in Lancaster, we've been able to have races in April. And I said, well, we've been good so far. And this year, the weather in February was better than March and April. So I take full blame. I put the schedule out in December. And I don't know what the future is going to be. But the good part is that we've, you know, now we know, and we're adapting. And, you know, we're still going to have racing here. We're still going to have a season. We're down three events so far. And it's bad for everybody. But at the same time, you know, it's not like we did anything here on purpose to have it happen.
Sure. Well, once we do get going, what are some of the big 2018 highlights on the Lancaster National Speedway and Dragway schedule?
Well, like I said, we're going to have the modified start the season. We're going to have five visits by the Racing Champion Modifieds this year. We have the Super Mods coming back on June 2nd. We have a Nitro Night of Fire coming back in July on the drag strip. We have Memorial Day. We have the Jet Funny Cars will be here. We have Sunday Nostalgia taking place in August. We have the swap meet in June. Tommy Tony Night in August. U.S. Open ends the season. Just a lot going on. We got the Supercharged Bounty Hunters coming three times on the drag strip. Street Outlaws Night on the end of June. We have five nights for the Buffalo Street Outlaws, which is a class on the drag that has really taken off this year. And part of the improvements on the drag strip was because the bigger, faster cars, they need to have the better surface, and this will be better for everybody. So there's a lot, you know, going on, and we're gonna stay busy. We got 85 events, you know, Tuesday test and tune and cruise night on Wednesdays, and, you know, we'll pick that up, and we'll just start rolling into the schedule and hope Mother Nature decides to be nice to us.
That's one of the Street Outlaws. That's one of the things that I've amazed to see take off in the last couple of years. Obviously, that TV show, is a big part of it, but you've got a group of guys in this area that have really dedicated to that group, and they come out and put a show on at Lancaster a couple of times a year, and people love it.
Yep, they're actually becoming stars of their own here, and you can tell when they're in the house, they rumble in pretty good. Plus, we weekly have our top mod street bikes and sleds, so people get a full course of racing action. They come out here for the drags, and but the stock cars are a staple division. The sportsmen, the street stocks, and the four-cylinder. So we come back on Saturday, and we're just as entertaining. And the good thing is people are actually starting to come back to the track that haven't been for years, and people that haven't ever come are like, well, we thought we'd check it out. We heard about it, and, you know, my neighbor, my friend, you know, said, come on out, and it's still affordable family fun. And, you know, we love our racing, as you know, and, you know, we can't do this without, you know, other people, and that's what we appreciate most.
Tim Packman from Lancaster National Speedway and Dragway joining us here in WGR's Fast Track. Tim, one event that was on the schedule but is no longer was the Red Bull Global Rallycross event after Global Rallycross disbanding operations, announcing that, or, well, they haven't announced it. We announced it a couple of weeks ago, but real quick, just give us the tale on what happened there with that event.
It was like, I was getting calls from other tracks saying, hey, they owe us, be careful. So I was like, hey, we need to have a talk. And I sent them a note on Monday. I was, you know, friendly about it. And then they sent back, yeah, let's have a phone conversation later tonight. And then, you know, I got a text from you in the morning going, hey, what happened to the Red Bull event? They deleted it. I go, what are you talking about? Then I went and checked my email, and I said, hey, at 1:04 a.m. on that Tuesday, they sent us that they ceased operations. You went on their website, and the schedule was down. So, and then it turned out we just put the word out to let everybody know so they knew, and with the refunds and everything, because that was all theirs, the tickets, and apparently we broke national news. You know, I was malicious, but we were just informing our people so they knew, because, you know, we like to keep people informed, and that was it. So I've not heard from them, and they ceased operations, and it's unfortunate, but, you know, the good part is that if they were going to come here and we were going to do a lot of work, you know, changing the track over and putting dirt down in places and it wasn't going to be worth it in the end, then that's probably better off that, you know, things happen the way they did.
Yeah, it was exciting when it was first announced, but in the end, I guess it wound up in the. I'm glad it didn't happen where it wound up owing anybody around here any money. So I'm glad it turned out the way it did, I guess. But that's something I'm sure you're always on the search for, to try and bring in different types of events. Yes, there's a lot of stuff weekly between Tuesday, Wednesday, Friday, and Saturday, but I'm sure you're looking for other types of events to try and bring in, just to try and generate more interest for the facility.
Well, last year, you know, we brought in the Super Mods, and first time in 14 years, and that went over great, as you saw. And then we brought Monster Trucks, which will be back again in September, and that brought a whole new crowd here. I mean, we went through more cotton candy that night with all the kids here. It was awesome, and pizza. But, you know, those are the things you got to do. I mean, we only have a limited window.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, you can't just do something to do something. You have to do it where it makes sense for everybody from a business standpoint. You know, do you think the area, people in the area would like to come to that? You know, both were well received. We had fans from, you know, Connecticut, Oswego, Ohio, Canada, all kinds of, you know, Pennsylvania, all coming in for the Supermod. And then for the Monster Trucks, we had people in the area that had never been here before. And so that was good.
Tim, last thing before we let you go, we'll ask you about your previous life down in North Carolina, but today would have been Dale Earnhardt's birthday, and I know you worked for DEI, you worked with Richard Childress, so you've got some ties there, but what was it like in your interactions with Dale? I don't know if you worked with him directly, but just a big hole in the sport obviously was left when he left us in 2001, but he's obviously still on everybody's mind today.
Sure. Big time. I mean, you know, he's one of the biggest names in the sport. You know, I still have my last interview I had with him when I was at NASCAR.com. I still have the tape of that. Then I went to work at Dale Earnhardt Incorporated for 4 years, and they're some of the best times in my life and racing career. And then I was fortunate enough to work with Richard Childress Racing. And I just learned so much about him and how he did things and how he operated. And, you know, I'm sitting here today with my Dale Earnhardt t-shirt on and my three jacket on. And he was just like, when he walked into the room, you could tell. And, you know, he had a playful side to him, but he also had this, you know, don't mess with me side. And I saw that with Dale Jr. a lot, especially at plate races like, you know, Talladega and Daytona. Like, just before he get in the car, he'd like do this. Dale Jr. would just look down and, you know, they said, oh, he's got his daddy face on, and that's ready to go racing. So, yeah, Dale was one unique individual. He, business-wise, he led the way in merchandising and things like that. People weren't aware of it. You know, his effect on the sport is long-lasting, and I think it's, what's it been now, 19 years?
And yeah.
don't know who he was and weren't able to see him race in action, but they know who he is now just because of the tributes that still go on.
Well, Tim, enjoy the race at Talladega today. Hopefully we can start running some races of our own very soon, and best of luck this season.
Thanks. Bubba Wallace is my pick today, just so you know.
All right, you've heard it here first. Tim, thanks.
Thanks, Dave.
Tim Packman from Lancaster National Speedway and Dragway, LancasterNationalSpeedway.com, Facebook, and at Lancaster SPDWY on Twitter for more information. And, May 11th and 12th was now opening weekend for Lancaster due to the weather delaying the concrete work that was going on at, that was supposed to go on this weekend at the track. So, unfortunately, just dealing with the hand Mother Nature has dealt us so far this year. All right, we get back. We'll wrap up today's edition of Fast Track. Time for your phone calls at 803-0551, 888-552-550. How about it? Picks for Talladega today. You got a lot of choices. Kyle Busch, four in a row, a first-time winner like Bubba Wallace. What do you think's going to happen? Love to hear from you when we wrap up Fast Track here on WGR.
Hi, this is Jamie McMurray, driver of the number one McDonald Chevy SS. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:52 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan wrapping up this edition of WGR's Fast Track. Again, we'll have live coverage of today's Geico 500. Pre-race starts at 1 o'clock, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. Green flag just after 2 o'clock today. Hope you tune in. F1 completing their race earlier today at Azerbaijan, Baku, Azerbaijan. And it was a wild one, to say the least, as Lewis Hamilton got the win, but it wasn't one of those races where Lewis Hamilton just kind of blew everybody's doors off. I know those cars don't have doors, but it's just a phrase. He actually kind of lucked into the win today as things got crazy late in the race when the two Red Bull cars took each other out. Daniel Ricciardo was trying to pass teammate Max Verstappen. Verstappen doing a little bit of blocking, and Ricciardo drove into the back of him and took the both of them out. And that set up a late race restart. On the restart, Valtteri Bottas, Hamilton's Mercedes teammate, was leading Vettel and Hamilton, and they went back to green. They went into turn one, and Vettel just overcooked it, trying to dive bomb past Bottas to take the lead. That took Vettel out of contention, so it looked like Bottas was going to drive away to the win with Hamilton in his tire tracks, but no, tire goes down on Bottas's car, and Lewis Hamilton just lucked himself into a win at Azerbaijan for Mercedes' first victory of the year. So Hamilton got the win. Kimi Raikkonen wound up second. Sergio Perez for Force India rounded out the podium, although I believe they're reviewing one of his passes late in the race, and I'm not sure if the penalty's already been applied or if they may penalize him further. I apologize for not being on top of that. But for now, Perez got third, Vettel got fourth, Carlos Sainz rounded out the top five there. Not a great day for the Haas F1 team as Magnussen finished the last car in the lead lap in 13th. And where is Grosjean? I don't know. 15th. Okay, there it is. Yeah, Magnussen and Grosjean, 13th and 15th. So not a great day for Haas F1, but a wild one there. Check out the replay of the Red Bull incident if you haven't done so already. That was crazy, just driving to the back. So there's been some interesting races this year in F1. The last couple races have had some wild late race drama that you don't get a lot of in F1, so it's pretty cool. Force India not expecting any penalty for Perez. It was an issue with the DRS. He used it where he shouldn't have used it, apparently, but it looks like, according to Luke Smith, at least on Twitter, who covers F1, they don't expect any further penalties, so it looks like Perez will get credited for that third place finish. Real quick, we'll squeeze in one phone call here. Rob from the Southern Tier. Rob, good morning.
Hey, Dave. First off, I want to say I really appreciate this show. I love listening to it. I'm so glad that you provide the coverage for the national level and the local guys. Just calling to say, you know, we got Lancaster, and they're doing a great job of trying to build the program back up from what it was. Help out on a local 8-mile team. We're a little disappointed we're losing our first race of the year. We're hoping that maybe they'll get us another race in there. You know, we've got some dedicated core teams out there, as you know.
Yeah.
And, there's some investment there, and the guys just want to race. So we're hoping that Mr. Packman will, you know, support us, get us that first race back. As far as the Cup side, go Chase Elliott. But just hoping that, you know, Tim knows that, listen, we got guys that want to race. Just get the opportunity.
Rob, thanks for the phone call, and thank you for listening. It's no slight to the late model teams. It's just bad luck. Unfortunately, I mean, there's sections of the racetrack torn up right now, so there's no way they can get the race in next weekend until that concrete is poured and settled and everything, so we can provide everybody with a good, safe racing facility. It's just bad luck, a fluke schedule. I mean, the late models have lost a race, but the Sportsman, Street Stocks, and Four Cylinders have all lost three races this year. So the decision came down yesterday. Tim is going to talk to Joe Scott-Nicky with the Race of Champions because it's their late model series. It's not, you know, so we got to talk to them, see if Joe wants to reschedule the race. There's a lot of moving parts there. If it's possible, it's possible, and we'll try and make up the date. If not, you know, we feel bad to the late model teams, but you're not the only ones that have lost races. There are a lot of other teams that also invested a lot of money. So I know it sucks for the late model guys, but plenty of other racers have also lost more than one race this year, and we'll try our best to work with the ROC and maybe get that race rescheduled. Unfortunately, there's only so many weeks. We've got such a limited window here in Western New York. You know, we can't start racing in March, and we can't run until the end of October. So we've got this limited window. There's only so many events and openings on the schedule. So if it's possible, they will reschedule. If not, you know, unfortunately, that's just the breaks of racing. But look forward to having the Race of Champions late models back a few more times this year. Plus, they've got two dates at Lake Erie Speedway, of course, this year, with the event in June that they were added to this year, and also, of course, Race of Champions weekend at the end of September. So, and I know that race in June for the late models, that's a qualifier for the big money race at Jucasa later this year too. So some added incentive and importance with that race. Thank you for the call, Rob, and again, thank you so much for listening. That'll do it for us this week. Again, don't forget to stay tuned and catch the race here on WGR today starting at 1 o'clock, and we'll be back next week with more Fast Track here on WGR.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their 6-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The 4-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more, plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.